WQST, this is Mike, WB6CLZ, acting net control for the Tech Tuesday Net. This net is conducted at 1900 hours on Tuesday evenings on the K6BB repeater. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information, and also a gateway to spark interest in various technical aspects of amateur radio. Before we continue, is there any emergency or priority traffic for the net? Please call WB6CLZ. Are there any bulletins or announcements of interest to this net? Please call WB6CLZ. Hey, well, tonight we are going to we're going to go back to the new issue of QSD. That's the October issue of QSD, the one that hopefully everybody just got. I didn't get mine, but I've got it online, so we're good to go. The article is EME, a new DXCC challenge, and that is written by our own Bob, WA6MQF. Kind of documented everything about his way to DXCC using moon bounce. And hopefully we'll have another guy up there in the valley that has a little experience with some EME, and that's Lanny, W6AT. So before we head that way, are there any announcements or any questions? WB6CLZ. Turn it over to you and go ahead and start it out, and maybe you can let's see if Lanny's in there first. W6AT, Lanny, are you around this evening? WB6CLZ with Tech Tuesday. Well, he said he may be a little bit later, so he may pop in later. Okay, Bob, go ahead. WA6MQF, go ahead, take it.
Thanks, Mike. WB6CLZ, WA6MQF. Okay, let's see. First of all, the disclaimer. you always have these so people that you fend off of maybe criticism. This is by no means the only way to do EME. I'll list what I did, and I'll list the reasons that I made certain decisions on selecting hardware and antennas and stuff like that. First of all, way back in the late 60s, the first 2-meter DXCC, 100 confirmed countries on 2 meters, award was given out. And I remember seeing that and being totally impressed. Work took me away, and I started scrounging bits and pieces. I started to put up an antenna for it. Work took me away. 150-mile-an-hour windstorm blew over my main tower, and it landed on my EME array. And then I got work took me away, and it took me about 20 years to get around to building the station that's described in the QST article. Break. But I was intrigued with the aspect of bouncing a signal off the moon. And so, again, I started scrounging up bits and pieces. And I made a decision on the antenna almost in the very beginning. I had acquired a rooftop tower that the tower itself is about 9 or 10 feet tall, and the mast sticks up another 5 feet. So I've got 15 feet on top of a 12 or 14 foot roof peak, and so that's the height of the antenna. Break. I chose a Cushcraft 13 element boomer. They made a bigger antenna, but I wanted to be able to work on this antenna with nothing but ladders and people standing on the roof. And I have, later on here, I'll give credit to the BBARC guys that helped me get this thing up. And so I chose the 13-element boomer, and four of them had adequate gain to do EME according to the published materials. And there's a fair amount of them. You can go punch that into a website and probably get 25 sources and opinions about what they did. I acquired two of the 13-element boomers, and then I acquired a whole pile of Cushcraft antennas. Somebody had four 19-element antennas that they stripped out the valves and driven elements and stuff. They were just selling a pile of aluminum. So Bud Wyatt, KC0ITA, and I cloned two more boomers from the two I already had. And that was a fairly easy job because I just laid the factory main antenna on top of the other tubing and used it as a pilot and drilled all the holes. And I just bought the driven elements and valves right from Cushcraft. I was able to buy every bit piece I needed. So hats off to Cushcraft for the antenna. Break. Incidentally, when I break to reset the timer, anybody that has a question, please march right in. Because if you don't, it'll be a real short presentation tonight. Anyway, so we built the antenna, and following recommendations from various websites, I bought a divider combiner from M Square up in Northern California, and they also provided a service for making precision timed cables. And so I also bought LMR 400, four cables to go from the power divider to the balun mounted on each of the antennas. Break. Hope maybe some of you have this UST magazine and you can see. If you notice, there's a rather large loop of coax right where the feed line goes to the antenna. What that does is the water will run down the outside jacket of the feed line, and that's the drip loop, and it'll get to the bottom of the loop, and then water doesn't run uphill, and so it keeps most of the water from trying to get inside your antenna connector. Mine were all type N connectors, and I did put some of the sealant tape on them. Break. The azimuth rotator was a Yaesu, and it was mounted inside the tower and with a 10-foot mast, and I had a thrust bearing at the top of the tower, and then it extended about another 4 feet out the top of the tower, and then on the top of that pipe, it was an inch and a half ID, almost 2-inch OD, just galvanized water pipe, is where the Yaesu elevation rotator clamps onto it. Reset. The horizontal boom was another piece of water pipe, about 10 feet long. In the article, it'll give you the exact measurement, and I just took those right off the Cushcraft recommendation page in their manuals. And then the two H legs running vertically were aluminum tubing. The inch and a half water pipe gets pretty heavy, and I needed the strength for the horizontal boom, but I could get away with aluminum. I used a double thickness of the aluminum tubing for the two vertical legs on the H so that I could really clamp down on the U-bolts. Reset. If you're considering doing this and you're only going to use two antennas is adequate. In fact, there's quite a bit of information now on guys doing EME with just a single antenna. Up here, we don't have the advantage, but if you can shoot the moon rise and moonset right across the horizon, you pick up 3 to 6 dB of gain. Unfortunately, up here in the valley, all of my moonshot signals and stuff have to clear the mountains and trees, and so I had to make mine all up by the antenna. Reset. On the tower itself, I had a waterproof box that contained some switching relays and also a junction box for one of my rotator connectors and a way to bring 12 volts up and terminate it up at the tower. I am using a 0.5 dB AAR receiver preamp that's inside the box and a large relay that switches the antenna either to the transmitter or to the input to the preamp. I use another smaller relay on the input of the preamp to give additional isolation, and when the relays are set for transmitting mode, the relay terminates the input to the preamp to keep RF from building up and getting into the preamp. They are very sensitive and easily damaged by being hit with high RF levels. Reset. Also, the energizing of these TR relays for transmit and receive are such that you have to apply 12 volts to receive, and that's a safety factor so that if you have an intermittent or a power supply failure, the normal mode for the relays is transmit, and you won't accidentally put RF into your preamp. And I can't state this enough because I went through a number of preamps learning that lesson. WA6QF, break. Besides the tower-mounted preamp and switching relays, I installed a camera that was mounted in point direction as the Yankees, and it just made an NTSC video signal that came down in the shack, and when the Yankees were pointing at the moon, I could look at the TV screen and see the moon in the middle of my video monitor. And I was lucky here in that my street is parallel, runs true east and west, and so I didn't have a lot of calibration problems on azimuth. But because you could just stand on the roof and sight down the Yagi and look and see the, you know, pointing right at the moon, it wasn't. Also, with the four antennas on 2 meters, the position, the moon doesn't move that fast, and you don't have to hit it dead accurate to get enough signal to be able to decode it and receive it. I'll talk about decoding at the end here. Break. Down in the shack, I built a control box, and this box had a 12-volt power supply, a 24-volt power supply, and a sequencer. And what the sequencer does is it creates four sequential relay closings. When you key it, relay one closes, 20 milliseconds later, relay two closes, 20 milliseconds later, relay three closes, 20 milliseconds later, relay four closes, and they all stay closed as long as the key signal is active. What this does is gives you a chance to get all the relays in the right position before you hit it with power. The very last thing is the relay four is it keys the push-to-talk line on my Yaesu 746 transceiver. Reset.
WB6CLZ. Well, what's the timing on those relays? I mean, when you first push the switch, and then it clicks the relays, so what's the timer set on each one of those relays?
We use the sequencer. time constant, and the actual command that starts this whole sequence to go into transmit mode is issued by my signal link, which is a USB adapter that generates and decodes the tones. And so you tell it on the keyboard to your computer that your signal link is talking to go into transmit. The signal link then issues a transmit signal on a dedicated line to the sequencer. Then the sequencer triggers one, counts 20 milliseconds, triggers the next 20 milliseconds, and so on. And the very last fourth relay is the one that is the push-to-talk on the transmitter. Now you've got the linear switched in, you've got the antenna relays all set up for transmit, and then your transceiver drives the whole system. Did that answer a question, Mike?
I just didn't know if it was like right now, and it sounds like it's pretty quick, or if it went through, you know, a process of a few seconds, but I got it. Thanks, Bob.
Okay, any other questions?
Colin.
Sequencer, I'm not damaged anymore preamps, okay? And the preamps run $75 to $100, so that was, once I learned that lesson, things got a little less expensive. Okay, the software, the thing that makes a lot of the EME work possible, although there are very potent stations that make contacts just simply on CW, but Joe Taylor wrote software, K1JT, I think, W1JT. Anyway, Joe Taylor wrote software that allows you to recover data from about 20 dB below the noise floor. Break.
You've got a comment. Go ahead and take that.
Go comment.
Oh, I just wanted to comment. This is Ron, WA6HF up in Big Bear City. Single sideband electronics, and both in a square, it makes some pretty nice mass-mounted gas FET preamplifiers for doing EME. And they'll run about 350 watts, somewhere in that neighborhood.
I actually have one of theirs on my 432 satellite system. Also, currently I'm using a WA2ODO, and he's got his preamps down to a noise figure of just a little over a tenth of a dB, and are used by a lot of the expeditions right now, because this is a sort of a new endeavor and lots of people are interested. There's a lot of de-expeditioning going on, putting new foreign countries on the air for people like me that are trying to work DXCC on 2 meters. Anyway, back to the digital part of what's going on. This software is locked to a precision time signal, and it knows when there's going to be a data bit, very precision timing-wise. And so it doesn't actually have to identify a data bit to get the data. It just has to hear a slight change in the noise level. And that then allows it to do a rather amazing job. I've seen stuff on where I couldn't even detect the signal on the waterfall display on my computer, and yet I saw decoded signals coming up, you know, with call letters and CQ or, you know, QSO stations in QSO. So it's quite phenomenal, and it helps, especially if you're starting out with a beginner station. You don't have all the killer hardware lined up yet, but you're starting. I started by just listening, and getting something that could hear well, and then I built an 800-watt amp, and I'm just about ready to put it online. But I use a signal link, but I don't hear any big comments about various people. Oh, one computer interface is that much better than another. I was quite happy with the signal link because it's set up without too much grief, and usually it's like pulling teeth for me to get two bits of digital equipment to talk to each other. And so, and now you can, once you get a station where you're decoding, one of the things, before you try and do it the hard way on 2 meters, there's a lot of JT65 now on the HF bands, and those signals are plenty loud enough so that you can see what they look like on a waterfall, and you can learn how to...
Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout, cancel.
It timed out. I don't know how much you saw. Anyway, what the basic of what I just said was you can practice on HF because JT65 is being used on HF, and those signals are plenty loud enough that you can practice recognizing them on the waterfall break. Okay, I modified my 746 for separate receive and transmit coaxes. Again, I was eating up the budget buying preamps, and so I went the extra mile to try and separate high power and low power RF. And again, if you've got the QST, the drawings for the RF routing inside the box up on the antenna, I brought the transmit. I wanted to save all the power I could make at 2 meters. And so it's fed with half-inch heliax, and the receive line is just a piece of RG8X. Break. Anyway, and I can just sort of as a summary statement here. After it took, half a year, maybe three quarters of a year to build all this stuff and actually start listening. And there's DX Spotting websites, and finally I tuned in a Russian station on the waterfall. He was quite strong, and I looked over on the website, and sure enough, he was listed as calling CQ, and I heard him, and that was one of my major high points of my 50-odd years in ham radio. WA6FQF, I'll turn it back to Mike for a bit.
Bob, hey, very nice presentation, and I'm looking at the pictures here. Very, very nice. I paged you this the other day, kind of looking for something to deal with on Tech Tuesday tonight, and I noticed that the camera on Figure 5 here, or the your video monitor, and I thought, that's just like Bob's system, and I didn't even look to see who had wrote the article or anything. I knew about it in advance, but just kind of slipped my mind. That is a unique part of the system. I like that. Does anybody have any questions or comments for Bob or Lanny? Are you there? Maybe you've got something to add. Please come now. WB6CLZ with Tech Tuesday.
WA6HF.
And Ron, take it.
Yeah, I go by his house when I'm going down to the post office, and he's got some nice stuff up on the roof. It looks pretty impressive.
He does. Hey, Bob, go ahead and explain your antenna system there. I think the log periodic is one of my favorites, and your vertical.
Hey, thank you, and thank you for the comment on the drive-by. Way back, and you guys, if you get bored, you can go to sleep. when I was a novice in 1959, I was all but sworn to staying off of 2 meters, because if I messed around with 2 meters, I'd never get my code speed up, and I wouldn't get my general, and I'd lose interest, and da-da-da-da-da. And so my whole, eventually, 2-meter FM became very convenient for locals, but you could never get any DX on 2 meters. And now, in thinking of all the highlights of my ham career, including working overseas and with foreign calls and stuff like that, just hearing another station on 2 meters from Russia off the moon and back was an absolute highlight for me. I have, for 6 meters, I'm sort of not a killer DXCC guy. I got 20 states on 6 meters, and I'm working now. I got a 5-band DXCC, but I'm working on the work bands to get those 100 countries there. But my 6-meter antenna is a creative antenna system, log periodic, 23 elements, and it covers from 6 meters to 1300 megahertz. And according to the published specs, has 10 dB of gain and has a nice SWR, and that's what I use for my 6-meter antenna. And I have a 6-meter solid state amp that I puts out 350 watts, and that's, but boy, I'll tell you, I haven't heard much on 6 meters lately. I'm going to open it up for any other comments. Almost about anything. I love to build stuff, and so some people have been in my shape. Actually, a recent. I wanted to thank Mike Bodie, Cindy, Tom Fry, Bud Wyatt, KC0ITA, everybody. At one time or another came over here to help me put up this antenna. And the whole system is built with nothing but a stepladder and hand tools. You know, no cranes, nothing exotic construction-wise. And it actually went together nicely because I put the H-leg, the crossbar was put on when the tower was hoisted up on the roof. Old Tom Fry wrestled it up, and we were pushing it up from the bottom. And then on its side, we put the aluminum H-legs and then stood it up and bolted it down to the roof. And then elevation-wise, we just rotated one pair of H-legs down, bolted on the antennas, then rotated the thing 180 degrees so the other side of the H-leg was down and bolted on the antennas, and then sort of loosened them up and got them all pointing the same way. And it really was a rather enjoyable. Of course, I was just supervising. I had a team of experts here doing the work. WB6CLZ, WA6FQM.
I like that kind of work. Very interesting. Anybody else have any questions or comments for Bob or anything? Go ahead. Please come down. Try Lanny one more time. W6AT, Lanny, are you around tonight? Okey-dokey. Well, anything else to add, Bob? Boy, we may have a short one here. Anything else to add? Go ahead.
It's mostly a monologue on my part. Just to encourage people not to think that it's, you know, being out of reach. And I could have done it less expensively, but again, the joy, there was this peak of joy when I first heard a signal. I'd actually built this whole complicated thing, and it actually worked. I don't know, if you look at my history over 50 years, probably less than 10% of anything I built worked the first time I turned it on. And so, but you keep hammering away, and ham radio has been a source of enjoyment for me for my whole life. Unfortunately, I was able to work at my hobby, and I built radio and television stations and put them on the air and fixed them and everything, and so I got to work at my hobby. Lucky me. Anyway, enjoyed the opportunity to tell my story, And just anybody that is even slightly interested, especially if you've got a clear shot at a horizon where you get a moonrise or moon set, you could probably decode the larger stations with just a single Yagi shooting moonrise or moonset if you're located more in the desert. I got trees all around here, but I'd encourage anybody that thinks that it might be interested to just start scrounging up the bits and pieces. WA6NQF, thank you, Mike, for the opportunity.
You're most welcome, Bob. Very interesting subject, and by golly, we're very fortunate to have, actually, you have written an article in QST, and we've been taking a lot of our Tech Tuesday subjects out of QST, so we actually got the horse's mouth right here. Very cool. The guy that wrote the article, and you know, that is really neat. Well, I'm going to open it up one more time for anybody that has any questions or comments for Bob or anything they might want to add. Please come down to WB6CLZ with Tech Tuesday. One more time. NA6XR. NA68XR, go ahead, what's your name?
The name here is Otis, Oscar Tango, India Sierra. I've got a question on the, what makes the Alpha Delta C points on their dipoles, what do you think makes them so special?
The Cushcraft Yagis, the 13B2 boomers that I was using, it's just a double gamma, and inside, I took one of their black boxes apart, you know, I couldn't resist that, and it's just a toroidal wound balun, and there's nothing exotic about it. Anybody, you know, if you want to put up build something like mine, buy one and then clone the other three. I didn't have any trouble at all cloning the two that I built from scratch, and I did buy the factory balance form, but I wanted to try and reduce the number of things I was going to have to troubleshoot once I got everything all bolted together. I'm not sure if I answered your question. Go ahead again.
I believe you did. NA6XR.
Your NA6XR WA6MQF. Bud Wyatt, who had helped me build the antennas, had one of those MFJ tuners, and the driven element, all of the elements except for the driven element are just solid pieces of wire. They're all about 1/8 inch diameter or so, and then the driven element is it's about 1/4 inch piece of tubing, and then the dipole coming off the balun box, it's actually just runs underneath that element with a couple of shorting bars that go up to it, and we just slid the shorting bars in and out to get the best match for return loss into his MFJ tuner, and then when we put the whole thing together, I've got a bird meter on it with a line section, and it had nice low SWR. And so it wasn't that hard. Having a good friend with one of the MFJ tuners. Over.
Yeah, that's the fun part, is actually tuning the gammas. All right, thank you. NA6XR, clear.
Questions and comments for Bob or anything else before we close the net here? WB6CLZ. Hey, I have one thing. KJIM, if you're out there, KJ6KDL. Jim records every Tech Tuesday that he can, and I've had a couple of people ask me where to find last week's, where we were doing the history of Big Bear. Jim, if you're there, I'm going to let you have it for a few, and you can go ahead and give some information on your website. KJ6KDL, WB6CL, that with Tech Tuesday. Go ahead, Jim, if you're there.
Hey, Mike, good test. Yes, I'm here tonight. So, yes, whenever I get a chance, I record the Tech Tuesdays, and within a couple of days of putting these up, usually less than a week, I have these posted so you can listen to them. I did have KJ6KDL.com, but I had to retire that, and so I moved everything to my personal website, and that's my initials and my last name. That's Julia Charlie Lima Lima Oscar Yankee David .com or Delta, JCLloyd.com. There is a ham radio link, and then in that link there is a link to a separate page for the Tech Tuesday recordings. You can bring that up and bookmark that page for ease next time. And what you'll see is calendars for the years. So 2013 will be up first for this year. 2014 will come up in January. And then it goes back to through 2011 and just a couple of 2010s. What you'll see is 12 months and up to 5 weeks per month. Week 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And in each grid, you'll see the recording time and an explanation of what the recording's about with the date of Tuesday. Today is the 17th, so when I put that up, you'll see 2013, you'll go to September, and it'll be week 3? Yeah, this is week 3, and it'll say 17, have the time. Click on the time, and the media player will fire up and play, hopefully. If you want, you can right-click and download the MP3 for posterity and have extra backups, so there you go. JCLloyd.com, Julia Charlie Lima Lima, Oscar Yankee Delta.com.
Hey Jim, thanks for the info, and then again, thanks a lot for doing that. We really appreciate it. Okay, one last try. Anybody have any comments, questions, or any information for the net before we close down here? Please call WB6CLNet. Come down.
Thanks for rounding the net, WA6HF. 73s.
Thanks, Ron. I appreciate that. Well, hopefully Tom will get back there sooner rather than later. Anyway, okay, well, let's see. Thanks to all members that checked in and had comments for this net. QST, QST, QST. This is Mike, WB6CLZ, acting as net control, closing the net at 1,937 minutes. And one last comment. Anybody have any suggestions for next week or the week after or until Tom gets back, please email me at mycall, WB6CLZ, WB6CLZ at ARRL.net, and we'll try to come up with anything that anybody has a request for. Okay, 73's off. Thanks for everybody that helped out on the net. This is WB6CLZ for Tech Tuesday.